and the opportunity to be here sharing the Word of God. And may God continue to bless you and to uphold you. Good afternoon, church. I hope everybody is doing well. I plan to be pretty brief today. I have only, I think, what, 5-6 slides? And hopefully we can be done quite soon. But, you know, they say in America they have very good watches. And they have all the watches. And in Uganda, we don't have very many watches. So, in America, you have the watches. In Uganda, we have the time. Because everybody has a watch, they don't have time. It's like, time is going. But there, because there are no watches, you watch the sun. And if the clouds are covering the sun and there's no shadow to watch, keep going until the shadow shows up. Anyway, I am excited to be here. I am glad to be here. I really thank God for the opportunity to break bread together. Amen. And I want to continue with the life of Isaac, or the journey of Isaac. And I'll be trying to conclude the journey of Isaac today. And I want to make it that brief. We finished last time. We looked at the preparation, and we looked at so many thoughts around how the Lord prepared Isaac before he deployed him and ushered him into that which he wanted him to fulfill. Today, Brother Eric, if you can turn with me to slide, I think it's slide number 9. We are going to be looking, we'll begin by looking at the characteristics. And I've just put a few thoughts down. These are not exhaustive by any means. They are just thoughts to help us reflect and look a little bit into the life of these great men of God, the men that God chose to use, and learn something from them. One of the characteristics about Isaac is his obedience. And I've never, you know, it's very difficult to get over the fact that his father could load him with firewood to walk to his own death. And there he walked comfortably. Comfortably, I'm not very sure. But he certainly walked obediently to his death, carrying his own firewood. And I'm sure in his heart of hearts, he must have known. There must have been a witness that he was the lamb to be sacrificed. And so, for his own clarity, he asked, just in case, Father, just in case I'm wrong, I can see the firewood, but I don't see the sacrifice. I'm sure if he had the opportunity, he might have added, could I be the one? But he didn't. Obedience. And the Bible speaks of obedience as being more important to God than everything else. You get to see how much the Bible attaches to obedience when you realize that the Bible equates disobedience with witchcraft. Now here, probably people don't know what witchcraft does and how witchcraft is really witchcraft. Witchcraft is not just Halloween stuff and the things that people do, you know, to trick, what do they call it, trick and trick. No. I mean, witchcraft can be real evil. It can be. It can be wicked. And if the Bible says disobedience to God is worse than witchcraft, then that's a big issue. Another thing about the life of Isaac is he was, now I tried to use the word meditator, but the English dictionary in Microsoft rejected it, so there's no word like meditator. But he loved meditation. Now, one of the things that is sweeping the world today is Eastern meditation. Meditation that is rooted in certain religious beliefs and convictions, which comes disguised with scientific facts around it. And very many of us are embracing it without realizing that this is a form of worship. There is a lot of meditation that is beautified and named differently, when actually it is worship. And they give you some mantra or some name to keep enchanting, or they tell you to reflect or focus on your organ or something. And basically, they are teaching you how to worship. But the Bible encourages us to meditate. Meditation is good. Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who meditates on the word of God. So we are encouraged to meditate. And I hope someday, sometime, we'll have the opportunity to learn how do Christians meditate. Or how should we as Christians meditate? Because meditation is healthy. It's very good. But what type of meditation? What do you meditate on? What do you focus on when you meditate? Isaac brings to us an attribute that is so interesting. The Bible in verse 21, Pastor, if you can read for us, Genesis chapter 25, verse 21.
Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived.
Now, this Bible says he pleaded with the Lord. My Bible says he prayed for his wife. Rebecca had a challenge in life. Something that caused the pain in the family. Isaac prayed for his wife. I don't know how many of us married men here have laid hands on our wives. You say, sweetheart, I have noticed 1, 2, 3, 4, and I know you're struggling with these challenges. Come, I want to lay hands on you. Wives, how many of you have said, this man here, today he came back, he just looked finished. This is not the husband I married. There must be something troubling his soul.
Come on.
Sweetheart, before I give you tea or whatever, is it coffee or juice? Let me lay hands on you. Let me tell you, it's really sweet.
Yeah.
I remember my wife has done this many times, but there was one particular day I got home, and I think she immediately could tell that there was something not right. And you know, she will try to talk and cause you to tell the story, and sometimes you're looking for the word, so you're still meditating and digesting, and you don't put out the... And she says, can we pray together? And I lays hands on you and prays. Very powerful.
Yes.
Here was Rebecca, barren. Yes. She couldn't deliver children. 20 years or so. Isaac says, I want to pray for you. He goes to the Lord. How many times would we rather criticize each other and complain than pray? Lord, is this the best you could give me? Had another opportunity, I don't think I would have made this mistake again.
Right.
I've been there. We've been there.
Come on. Tell the truth.
You look at your children and you just wish they were your neighbors, eh? I'm not telling this to my children. And I'm sure they will be saying, Dad, you really think we should have been down here? Your neighbor's children? But I'm sure. There are moments the children themselves will look at and maybe they wish they were your neighbor's children. And rather than discourage, criticize, The Bible tells us Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife. What is it in your spouse, in your friend, in your boss, in your children, in your parents that you don't like? Isaac teaches us to take it to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord will respond. Isaac was very trusting. Inasmuch as arranged marriages happen, I know that not all arranged marriages work out. But here was an arranged marriage where no questions were asked. The moment Rebecca saw Isaac, something told her, this is him. Bible tells us Isaac was going to meditate. I don't know, maybe he cut the meditation short. You know, be careful when you are praying. Sometimes it is when you are deep in prayer that the real temptation that will sweep you off your feet comes. The man was in prayer, meditating. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes. Don't lift up your eyes when you're praying. He lifted up his eyes and he saw camels. And the meditation and prayer stopped there. He went and he got Rebecca and he married her. Let's go to the next slide. Deployment and accomplishments. Genesis chapter 25 verse 5 tells us that Abraham left all he had to Isaac.
Right.
Now this can be both good and bad. Because it means he left all the good and all the bad. Because he left all he had to Isaac. Of course, if your dad is about to go and he leaves you all you have, I have had people really priding in the things that their dads are leaving them or their mothers or grandmothers. Usually it is a house and an inheritance in form of money that people are more interested in. But there can also be spiritual inheritance. You may think you're only inheriting the physical and you're actually also inheriting the spiritual. And so guess what happens? When there's a famine, some of the thoughts that Isaac had inherited come back into his life. The very first thing he thinks about is go to Egypt. Because Abraham went to Egypt when there was a famine. Remember when we were talking about Abraham, we said the Lord did not tell Abraham to go to Egypt. And so Isaac is immediately saying, you know what, go to Egypt. And the Lord appears to him and says, don't. Do not go to Egypt. When Isaac goes to these, I think they were the Philistines or the men of Gerar, and they want to take his wife. What did he tell them? She's my sister. Are you sure? At least for Abraham, Sarah was half sister. So we can kind of exonerate Abraham. I mean, he just told part of the truth, not the whole truth. Isaac, are you sure? Well, yeah, Rebecca was some kind of relative. Yes, she was actually a relative. The interesting one is verse 11.
So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man...
Chapter 26,
yes. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.
No, I think I'm moving ahead of myself there. I'll come back to that one.
You want 25?
Go on to 25.
Yes.
And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt between Beer Lehi Roar.
It came to pass after Abraham died that God blessed Isaac. Why? Why didn't God bless Isaac when Abraham was still alive? I have no clue. Last Sunday, I shared thoughts. I said sometimes the Lord will need to remove certain things or certain people from our life for Him to reach our life. And here is a very good example. After Abraham died, the Lord blessed Isaac. Because the Lord had made a covenant with Abraham, the Lord had a covenant and a relationship with Abraham. For as long as Abraham was alive, it was Abraham. When Abraham left and Abraham moved, and if Abraham had not left everything he had to Isaac, where would have the blessing of the Lord gone? Because Abraham had so many other children. He had Ishmael. He had the children with Keturah. You know, there is a whole list of men. We don't know about them and where many of them are, but we know that they're in the Middle East, and we'll soon see where they are and what they are doing. But Isaac moves on and begins his own journey and relationship with the Lord. Verses 19 through 34, and we will not read because of time, and I'm sure you have read the story. Two nations are born.
Come on.
And the two nations up to today are a real issue in the world today. The birth of the two nations. And remember, we talked about the opposing seed. And from Abraham, there are two nations, or more nations actually, but we can talk about two nations. Isaac, through whom the Lord said, I will bless the nations. And Ishmael, who also received some of the blessing. But the battle of nations begins right there. Esau, or Esau, is born, and so is Jacob. And we know the story. And we'll come back to that. But let's remember, two nations are born, and conflict begins. Isaac, in verse 28, let's read 27 and 28. This is interesting. 25, 27, and 28.
So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob.
That has to be one of the saddest statements in Scripture. Here is a family, a dream family. Two children, a husband, and a wife. It's a dream family, right? Two boys, and they all came once. So, not too many hospital bills to pay in terms of antenatal care and stuff. But the Bible tells us Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob, a divided household. Isaac presided over a divided household. Families, heads of households, how do we avoid presiding over divided households? How do we avoid this kind of thing? Promoting, espousing division in our own households. For me, when I read this statement, what a challenge. What a challenge. What a challenge. But we know that the life of Isaac teaches us that the people of God can expect to face challenges. Today, the prosperity gospel will almost make you believe that once you love the Lord and walk right with the Lord, there's going to be no challenges in your life, right? But here is Isaac, a man of God. and is struggling with the very things that you and I struggle with. Many people are very quick to criticize church leaders and pastors. If a pastor makes a mistake, You know, people think that pastors somehow have their own world in which they live. They live on some planet called the pastor's planet, and then they show up on planet Earth to preach the gospel, and then they go back on their pastor's planet where there are no problems. But they go to the same marketplace that you do, right? They see the same things you see, right? And they hear the same things that you hear. I watched Pastor Ben-Hinn give part of his testimony. How he was about to climb the pulpit in Indonesia. And thousands of people in the world's largest Muslim country had gathered to listen to the gospel. 30 minutes before he climbs the pulpit, he gets a phone call. And his children are crying, and they're saying, "Dad, you have to come back home. The family is breaking." Ben-Hinn says, "I say the Lord, how am I going to climb up there and preach anything when my own family is falling apart?" But these are the challenges, and the life of Isaac teaches us that actually, people, irrespective of how close you are to God, you have challenges, right? There was famine. He had a divided household. His wife was taken away from him, almost taken away from him at some stage. He told a lie, I think, to try and survive. Challenges, right? Anybody going through challenges? Not in this church, I believe. It just basically tells us how human and how vulnerable all human beings can be. The world today would like us to play the hero. Right? Everybody plays the hero. You don't. Come on, you walk in a particular way, you dress in a particular way, you speak in a particular way, you don't make mistakes. You know, you're superhuman. And the day you don't meet that standard, you can fall from grace to grass in 10 seconds. In 10 seconds, you are a nobody. You are the greatest person yesterday and today. Who cares? Who knows even where you are? I remember when Josh was young, I think he must have been 3 years or four. And one time, I was, you know, I think he was crying, and I wanted to try to encourage him to stop crying, and I said, "Come on, Josh, men don't cry, you know." And he looks at me and he says, "But you also, the other day you cried." And you know, I had cried because there was this friend of mine, one of my closest friends, wonderful dear brother. We met and prayed together. And the previous evening, he had been at our house. We had prayed together, shared fellowship, had tea together. And as he went back to his home, he was shot dead by robbers. And the following morning, his brother comes to me to pick him, to go and work with the police to retrieve the body, etc. I'm not going to take you into all that detail. And I was brave. I was strong. I was firm. As we went through all that, and we took him to the morgue, or the mortuary, as we call it in that part of the world. And when I went back home around 12 midnight, and I sat down in the same chair I had sat the previous day with this brother, reality hit me. And I melted. And I broke down. And I cried. And that's what he was referring to. He also cried that day. But you know, man, you know how often we play the hero? Sisters, let me tell you the truth. These brothers, some of them will care. They are delicate. Fragile. Fragile packages. Acting brave. Many of us know when you are under the shower, sometimes that's the best time to cry. Because the tears are washed away. And by the time you come out of the shower, you are singing a song of praise. But you have had some personal moments with the Lord in that place. Let's quickly go to the next slide and look briefly at the relationship between Isaac and God and Isaac and his family. I've already talked about his inheritance, so I'll not look at that. And the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and grandchildren, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And I know that that's what is breaking the hearts of most of us. Because you look at your account and you don't know whether it will carry you through your old age, let alone leaving an inheritance for your children. And so you begin to worry, and many of us worry and we fear. And yesterday I was listening to the radio and somebody was defining the word fear, and they say the word fear means false evidence appearing real. And I said, wow, that's a good one. That's a real good one. Oftentimes it's false evidence appearing real. And many of us, actually, the biggest part of our fear is because we are living in the future. Isaac suffered hostility. The Bible says the children of Israel, of Isaac, suffered hostility from the Ishmaelites or from Ishmael. And remember, these were brothers and his descendants. Genesis chapter 25, verse 18. Let's read it.
They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is the east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. He died in the presence of all his brethren.
25:18.
Yeah, 25:18. Is that it?
Yes.
All right, we'll come back to it.
Okay.
But he suffered hostility from the Ishmaelites. And today, you know, when we hear of these battles in the Middle East, all those, by the way, are children of Abraham. It's not that some non-children of Abraham are fighting the children of Abraham. All these are truly blood children of Abraham. They all have a right to claim Abraham as their grandfather or great-grandfather. And they're fighting. That hostility started during the days of Isaac. And it continues. Later on, we see Joseph sold to the Ishmaelites, children of Abraham. They take Joseph and they sell him to Egypt. Rebecca, this is interesting. Rebecca knew something about the children that Isaac did not know. Saying, Moses, is that possible? Verse 32. What does it say?
But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.
Now that is a very defining moment of both our faith and the whole story of Scripture. Rebecca was pregnant, and people who think children are not children when they are still in the womb, they need to rethink. Because here we are, two children in the womb, but the Lord is not seeing children. He is seeing nations.
Right.
And he's not just seeing children. The children are actually fighting. That means they are alive. They are understanding. Look, I mean, little children, they're inside there, they're fighting. There's evidence in the scriptures that children are children before they are born. They're already fighting. They're already disagreeing there. They are tussling. They are trying to say, come on, you're in my space here. And and Rebecca went to inquire of the Lord. We are not told that when she inquired, she told Isaac. So probably she told him. I don't know. My assumption is maybe she didn't. Take the story of Mary. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Mary kept these things to herself. After Simeon spoke into her life, after Anna spoke into her life, she kept those things to herself. There are so many things that these ladies know that we may not know. Mary was writing a story about her childhood, and she's trying to ask me. So now I didn't keep a journal. I think I tried keeping a journal and stopped somewhere. And she wants to know, so when I was young, how many times did I cry? And I'm saying, Mary. And there goes my wife remembering, oh, you know, you did this, you did that. I'm saying, okay. Listen to your mom, you know, mom. You know, yeah, mom, you remember also something else. But there's so many things the ladies know that the men don't. And unfortunately, the men always assume they know everything, right? Men. We think we know more than they do because we are loud. And if you're loud like me, you think, you know, more. You know, those of us who are, and because our voices are big, and you can. But anyway, Rebecca knew something that Isaac did not know. And she kept it to herself. The secret that Rebecca knew that Isaac didn't know is the Lord had said the older will serve the younger. Hey, Isaac just enjoyed the game meat. And they said the way into a man's heart is through his stomach. Right? Each man is here, they know what they like. And those sisters know exactly what to give you when they want you to do what they want. And I say, yes, yes. Hey, sweetheart, you really know me, yes. But then after that, wait for what comes next. So anyway, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us, when eventually Isaac is about to die, he calls Esau. We know the story, don't we? He says, go get me some game meat and make me the real meal I want. Told you last Sunday, the sisters know how to multitask. Rebecca was doing other things. But the ear brought what Isaac had just told Esau. So as soon as Esau left, because it was a divided family, but also because Rebecca had a secret that she knew. She said to Jacob, go bring me kids. And we know the story. And she prepares a meal that Isaac eats and likes and blesses Jacob instead of Esau. Esau cries. And of course we can blame Esau for having sold it for because he despised his birthright. But it had been prophesied. Are there words of prophecy that may have been spoken into your life and you have not regarded them and you think they have gone by? Are there things that the Lord might have revealed to you and you think, you know what, that's an issue of the past? Or things the Lord has spoken to you about your children? And sometimes it could be a dream, it could be a vision, it could be a flash of a thought, and you may dismiss it just like a wild thought. But the Lord is pursuing a particular mission with a particular child. And here is a very good example. Esau, Rebecca had already been told, the older will serve the younger. And Rebecca knew it. And she held on to that word. I don't know whether she schemed or manipulated, but eventually she caused it to be fulfilled. Let me conclude by looking at some lessons that I draw from the life of Isaac. And I know even all these that I've been sharing were lessons. But let me specifically share what I have called lessons. If we go to the next slide, I have a number of lessons that I want to share with us. Number one is that human experience and expertise do not always reflect God's will. There are many times that we shall jump onto human experience. Oh, I know how to deal with this. Do you? Is the Lord expecting you to deal with this the way you always deal with all challenges? Oh, I know. I'm experienced. And so, oftentimes, when we are choosing leaders, we are choosing the most experienced. Not necessarily the one God wants. That was the challenge when Samuel chose Saul. The Bible tells us he was the tallest. All right? And because he was the tallest, it was obvious. He stood, is it 2 feet above every other man? And then you just, if you were looking for a leader, there you had him. He was handsome. His hair weighed, I don't know how many, whatever, pounds. I mean, it was so obvious. The guy had all the things that, hey, sisters, brothers, when you're choosing who to marry, it's not about experience and expertise. I remember this young man in my church back home who, you know, he just saw this sister. The sister used to sing in the choir, and she sang. Oh, my goodness. And then he came to me, and then he said, you know, Pastor, you know, I am finished. And, you know, this is her. And I said, okay, why? You know, oh, the way she sings, and when she speaks in tongues, oh, you just feel the spirit come down. You're not marrying tongues, man. You're not marrying a choir leader. You're marrying a wife. Unfortunately, that particular marriage did not last. Anyway, but those are some of the challenges. You know, choosing schools. Which one do you choose? Choosing jobs? Choosing churches? We all make choices, right? Choosing what cloth to wear. Families can fall apart because the husband wants this color of shirt and the wife wants the other color, prefers the other color. God is watching over his word, and in due course he'll fulfill it. Is there a word that you felt was yours? God spoke it to you. A word that came to you. And sometimes words of prophets are spoken into our lives and we despise them. Or we disregard them. Or we don't even remember them. I remember just before I finished my university education, I went to attend a church and we were in a prayer, an overnight, all-night prayer meeting. And this lady was praying over people and she prayed over me. And she said, brother, you are going to travel. You are going to travel, brother. I see you traveling this whole world. And I was saying to myself, I have not even left my home. Where am I going to travel? And I was reflecting the other day and remembering that specific word of knowledge that was given into my life and how the Lord has fulfilled it. God is watching over his word to perform it. Now, if you are praying for something and the answer doesn't seem to be coming, pick a specific word and hold on to it. I could almost say hold the Lord accountable to it, but the Lord will always be accountable. Amen? But go back to the Lord and say, Father, you said. And because you said, Lord, I'm holding on to this. You said. And let me tell you, so much so that you can speak like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and say, he said. But even if We shall still. Oh, I love that. I love that. Because you may hold on. And it doesn't happen the way you want. But God is watching over his word to perform it. The problem is that many times we are going to the Lord with our word. And not necessarily the word of the Lord. I don't know. We need to learn to pray the scriptures. Literally reading back the word to God. Because that's what he's watching. And he'll perform it. I'm finishing. I don't know how many times I'll say I'm finishing. And I'm finishing might mean in about 40 minutes. We've already talked about beware what you pass on to your children, especially unknowingly. You know, children have psychology, children have understanding. Maybe Abraham had told a story to Isaac, how, you know, he had survived when these men almost took, Sarah. Maybe he had conversed around the fire. And Isaac said, hey, okay. That's a truth taken. When the time comes, I know what to do and what to say. Beware what you pass on to children. And somebody has said, if you don't know what you looked like when you were young, look at your children. So if you don't like what you see in your children, you're basically looking at yourself. Because children reflect the parents. They say the best way to teach a child is to steal. Is to steal with that child on the back. Because the child is on your back. Everything you do, the child is watching. As soon as you put it down and it is able to run by itself, it will do exactly what the mother or the father was doing. Are there things we pass on to our children? Sometimes I look at my own children and I say, probably that's what I have passed on. Sometimes it's really exciting. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, if that's what I passed on, forgive me. First, deal with me before you deal with the child. They're wonderful children. I'm proud of them.
Amen.
And they know it. But we also have some intense fellowships. But that's all part of the journey. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand up for a minute. 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 And just, you know, you stretch and I know it's afternoon, and afternoon church is not the easiest. It's Sunday, and okay, let's see. Then I will conclude. I'll go through this very quickly. The other lesson that I picked up is God defends his own, and when he does, even your enemies become your partners. If you read chapter 26 of Genesis, you know, let's read that particular portion.
Verse 11.
Yes.
So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.
These are the men who had wanted to take his wife. Now the king is saying, if anybody touches her, he will be put to death. When the Lord defends you, even your enemies become your partners. And the Lord will surely defend you. And I know that each one of us, we may not call them enemies, but we have people in our lives that have become an issue or a prayer project. Say, Lord God, I'm lifting to you this person or that person. Maybe at your place of work. It could be your place of work, especially the place of work. Could also be at home. Could be a sibling. Could be a relative. Could be somebody. When the Lord defends you, those very people will become your partners. Let's go to the next slide. And my lesson here is keep planting the seed in season and out of season. Keep planting the seed in season and out of season. The Bible tells us when the famine came, Isaac wanted to go to Egypt. The Lord said, don't. It is not good here now, but don't go there. And how many of us have had that temptation? His job is not good anymore. Doesn't have full benefits. His job is better. One time I was about to change jobs and somebody asked me, said, Moses, when you got this job that you have now, did you thank the Lord? And I said, yes. Did you give a testimony? And I said, yes. Said, do you feel the Lord is the one who gave you that job? And I said, yes. And he asked and said, has the Lord now said you can move? Or is it your own thought and intuition? And sometimes you leave this job and you go that job. And as soon as you walk there, they are actually downsizing. And first in? No, last out. Last in? Fast out. And so before you know what is happening, as soon as you've been there 2 months feeling good, they are telling you, oh, unfortunately, this position is being eliminated. And you're wishing you had not left that bad job that you had before. And we were discussing this with my family, and somebody asked and said, what does it really mean to keep sowing seed? And we know that if there is a scripture that has been really turned around, especially during the prosperity teachings, it's this whole thing about Isaac sowed seed. Isaac sowed seed, and I was thinking about, what did he really sow? By sowing seed, he continued investing. And so, it's a good time to think of doing some investments. The economy may not be doing good, but are there things that we can invest in during this bad economy? And the Lord will multiply them. But also sowing seed into the kingdom of God. It's good to give to the work of God. But above all, sowing by preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God. The Bible tells us a sower went out to sow. And he sowed. And the sower is the preacher. And the seed is the word that is spoken. Keep sowing the seed. You never know which seed will bear fruit. You may throw in a word and you think it is just a word anyway. And parents, we know, with our children, you may have said it 110 times. You will still say it if you think it will add to their protection and safety. Or it will add to their enhancement. You still throw in that good word. Keep sowing the seed. And then in Genesis chapter 26, there is another story about Isaac, and we'll not read it because of time. But we all know the story. How Isaac, when he sowed seed and he prospered, and these people saw that he prospered, they got angry. And they came and buried his wells. They began by burying the first well. And the Bible says Isaac did not complain, but he moved on and went and dug another well. They came and they also buried that well. And he moved on and he dug another well. And they even came and they took over that well as well. Can you imagine if you were the one in the desert where finding water... It's like, I don't know how I can, what I can compare it to. If you've been to the desert or any desert of some kind, and you know what it means, forget. Each one of you, you have running water in your houses, right? You just go that tap one day and there's no running water. And you really want to pull the roof down. You know, it's like Fairfax Water, whoever it is. Come on, my water. Hey, if you're not here in the next 10 minutes, you know, you need to know that I'm paying.
No.
But here was a situation where they dug, and digging wells took forever. And finding water, and somebody takes it over. Or they bury it. They pour soil back in there. That's pain. And each one of us, maybe you have wells you've dug and people have poured dirt on those wells. And again, I keep speaking about the children. I know this because my own children have told me. Many times when they do well, I'm not quick to appreciate them. But when they do wrong, I'm quick to point it out, man. How often do we point out the good in people's lives? Encourage them. It is easier to notice that your spouse did something wrong. I read this story. The woman was a stay-home mom and the man was a working dad. And he always came home and the best he could do was quarrel and complain how this lady did nothing at home. And he said, you do nothing, and you know, I'm so tired. And she had three little kids she looked after. And on this particular day, this lady decided she was actually going to do nothing to show this brother that she does a lot. So when they woke up, she stayed in bed. The man went to work. The children woke up. They were hungry. Each one of them went to the fridge, picked what they wanted. One poured milk. Some of it poured into the cup. The rest poured on the carpet. They pulled toilet roll, it was rolling all over. Whatever they did, they were trying to pull down cereal and it poured. And she said, fine, let it be. And they were running all over in their pajamas. This brother came back home. And as soon as he opened the door, what's happening here? Kids, some all over. He rushed to the bedroom, found the wife in bed reading a book. Said, are you sick? She said, no. What's happening to him? I did nothing today. You always tell me I do nothing, so I chose to do nothing so that you can know what doing nothing really means. Was painful, but the lesson was delivered. When you hold on to the Lord, your enemies will look for you. Let's read that 26:26. These are people who have been burying his wells. They've been haunting him, tormenting him. Let's see what the Lord does.
Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, why have you come to me, since you hate me, and have even sent me away from you? But they said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you.
You know, if your enemies clearly see that the Lord is with you, oh, Lord, if only my enemies could clearly see that the Lord is with me. Are there things or people? Pray that the Lord may show them clearly. Abimelech said, we have clearly seen, not vaguely, but clearly seen that the Lord is with you. And so we have come to make peace with you. The very people that hated him, that wanted to throw him apart. And the Bible says, because Isaac held on to the Lord, they came to make peace with him. And he made a feast for them. When you hold on to the Lord, your enemies will look for you. I don't know what type of persecution or experience you may have gone through, maybe going through now. And maybe you're feeling very discouraged. But the very people that have taunted you will look for you.
Amen.
They will look for you.
Amen.
Hold on to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the very people that have taunted you,
yes,
will look for you.
Amen.
The challenge will be for you to throw a fist for them. I have one more slide and we are done. Let's go to the next slide. Let people see the good works you do, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let people see the good works. People saw the good works of Isaac, and they came to glorify the God of Isaac. They couldn't hold back. If people see your good works, they will glorify your Father. The challenge is that sometimes the Father we've given them is verbal and not practical. We have given the world a verbal God. We talk about Him, but when they want to see Him, they don't see Him. A story is told of a church that was built near a bar. And the church prayed that the bar would close, that this nightclub that was misleading people would close. And they would pray all night that the nightclub or bar, whatever it was, would close. And after a short time, many people came to the Lord and the bar closed. Right? And the bar owner went to court. When he got to court, when the judge called the church denied the case. They said, no, we did not pray. We did not close. We are not responsible for his business closing. And the bar owner said, no, they prayed. And their God answered them, and my business has closed. And the judge said, I have a challenge now. I have a bar owner who believes in God and a church which does not believe that their God answered their prayers. Love is powerful. It's a powerful weapon. The Bible says you can heap burning coals on the head of your enemies just by loving them. For me, it is one of the real hard things. It's one of the challenges. It is. I met a man whose neighbor confessed to having killed this man's two children. And when he became a Christian, he came to the man to repent of the evil he had done, because he killed those children before he became a Christian. What would you do? Thank him for having come to tell you? Forgive him? Embrace him, hug him, bless him. But that can be one of the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Bad decisions can be costly. Let's stand up and we will pray together. And if we can go to the next slide, these are some thoughts that I want us to pray about. We need to pray for family members. And we need to learn to pray for family members by name. Are there family members we never pray for? Especially our uncles, our aunties, our cousins, our grandparents, those fairly, maybe not so nuclear relatives. They are all family. And the Lord saved you and brought you into His kingdom to Himself, that through you, He will touch them. In my whole family, I was the first person to give my life to Jesus Christ. Today, my brothers, sisters, their spouses, their children, they are all running ahead of me. They're all running ahead of me. But can we continue to pray? It's not that I prayed for each one of them by name and so they became converted. I pray for them. But I'm not taking that glory. But I'm encouraging us to pray for our families. Pray for wisdom to make the right decisions. Pray that the Lord will prepare a table for you before your enemies. Pray that you will be strengthened to prevail in times of strong opposition and that God will bring completion the good work he has begun in you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Just open your mouth and just speak to the Lord. Just speak to the Lord and just tell him about what you want him to do in your life. And just say, Father, we come before you, Lord. Father, we come as we are this afternoon, Lord God, having heard your word and having listened to your word. If there be anything, Lord, that we may have spoken or said or done that has not glorified you, that you will forgive us, Lord. But Father God of Abraham, we want to come before you, learning from Isaac who prayed for his wife. And when he prayed for his wife, Lord, you heard his cry. You heard his plea. And you opened her womb and she gave birth, O Lord God of glory. We want to pray for our family members, O Lord God. Those things in our family members that we may not like, we may not cherish, we may not enjoy. Those things that we may not understand and we may not love. Those things in our spouses, in our children, that may be troubling us or disturbing us. Or those challenges that we know they are dealing with and grappling with, O God. We are praying in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God of glory. That you'll bring deliverance, O Father. That you'll bring healing, O Father. That you'll bring deliverance in our family members, O God. Bring deliverance to our children. Bring deliverance to our spouses, O God. Bring deliverance, O Lord God, to our cousins, to our uncles, to our aunties, O Lord God, each of our family members, O Father. We lift them before you, King of glory. That, Father, you may intervene in their lives, O God. Some of them are struggling with financial issues. Some of them are struggling with drugs and alcohol. Some of them are struggling with tobacco. Some of them are struggling with all sorts of challenges. Broken marriages, oh God. Some of them are having terrible relationships. Some of them can't find employment. Or they can't even hold employment, oh Lord God. We bring our family members unto you. We pray for our family members, oh God. We pray that you bring a change in their lives, oh Father. Break every curse. Break every code. That has held them, oh God. The power of the enemy that drags them behind. We pray that you'll overcome that power. That you'll prevail over that power, Lord God of glory. Bring healing, bring deliverance, oh Lord. Bring joy, bring peace, oh God. Bring good relationships, oh Father. Oh King of glory. How we pray that you'll bring transformation. How we pray that you'll bring a difference, oh God. How we pray that you'll bring a new beginning, oh Father. How we pray that you'll bring a new beginning, oh Lord. Bring a new beginning, bring a new beginning, oh Lord God of glory. For you are the gold of new beginnings, oh Lord God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that your blood will prevail, 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 Lord God of glory. The blood that was shed on Calvary will prevail. Let's pray for wisdom to make the right decisions. Pray for yourself, pray for your spouse, pray for your children, that they may make the right decisions. Pray for the pastor, that he may make the right decisions. Pray for the election that is happening in this country, that the people may make the right decision. Lord God of glory, times of decision come. Times to make decision come, O Lord God. We pray, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, that you'll guide us as we make decisions, O Lord God. We pray for this country, Lord God, as people go to the election to make a decision of who will lead this country, Lord God of glory, that Father, you'll guide this country as they make that important decision, Lord God, that people will not choose according to their own knowledge, not people will not choose according to their own understanding, people will not choose according to their own experiences, oh God, but that Father, that which you have purposed from the beginning will come to pass, oh Lord God, that you'll bring a new beginning, oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Lord, you'll bring healing and deliverance into the lives of many people that are hurting, oh God, Father God of Abraham, that your name may be honored and be glorified, oh Lord God. Father, we pray for those in leadership as they make decisions. We pray for the judges that will be meeting tomorrow, oh God, and deciding on the selfish, oh Lord God. We pray that they'll make the right decision, oh Father. We pray for the right decisions to be made, oh Lord God. Father, we pray for our children as they make decisions about schools, about friends, about things they should do. Help them to make the right decisions, oh God. We pray for our spouses as they make decisions. Cause them, Lord God, to make the right decisions. Cause them to make the right decisions, oh God. Cause them to make the right decisions, oh Father. That your name will be honored and will be glorified. And you are the one who knows what you are going through. If there is a situation where you have opposition, where you have people standing up against you, pray that the Lord will strengthen you in the midst of opposition. Pray that the Lord will strengthen you in that opposition. And that the Lord will prepare a table for you before your enemies. Father, Lord God of glory, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will stand with us, O Lord God. That you will encourage us, O Lord God. That you will strengthen us, O Father, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of opposition, O Lord God. That Father, in the name of Jesus, you will even prepare a table for us in the midst of our enemies, O God. That Father, we shall eat and celebrate in the very midst of our enemies, O God. And that those people who have posed their opposition to us, those that have stood in opposition, those that have acted as enemies to us, that Lord, you'll make them partners with us, that you'll turn their hearts around, that you'll take out of them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, O Father, and cause them to walk with us, O Lord God, to encourage us and support us, O Lord God. Father, turn their situation around, O God. Give them a heart of flesh, O Lord God of glory, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Son of the living God. O Rapaka Setoro Boboko Shandarabaka, Repoko Setoro Boboko Sandarabashe, O Ramaka Setoro Boboko Rashindaraba. Yes, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Son of the living God. Urimaka Setoro Boboko Sandarabashe. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Son of the living God. Father, you are the one who called us. You are the one who called each one of us, oh Father. And you called us that we may serve you. You called us because you have a purpose for us, oh God. You called us because you have a plan. Father, we pray that whatever good work you've begun in our life, that you'll bring it to completion, oh God. That whatever good work you've started in us, oh God, you'll bring it to completion, Lord God. That whatever good work you've begun in our children, you'll bring it to completion, Lord God. That whatever work you've begun in our families, you'll bring it to completion. That whatever good work you've begun in our pastors, you'll bring it to completion. Father, Lord God of glory, whatever good work you've begun in us, oh God, that you'll bring it to completion. That you'll bring it to completion. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, yeah, tried and true.
I'll be a living sanctuary for you. One more time. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Thank you, Father, that your Spirit has made us the habitation of God. And Lord, may you be glorified in these temples, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you real good.